Hello, I'm Dango Rose, and you're listening to the Mountaineer Podcast in conjunction with the Mountaineer Newspaper, the voice of the Peak to Peak, online and in print. Brought to you by Mountain Vale Media. Now, listen in for the show.
My name is Jamie Lammers, and welcome to this week's edition of Music of the Mountains, Where to Be and What to See. Our first musical guest of the week. Do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
My name is John Pickett, and I am the upright bass player, songwriter, and founding member of the band Chain Station.
And I hear that you will be performing with Woodbelly at the Caribou Room very soon.
We are indeed. Yeah, we're psyched for this. It was scheduled for a couple months ago, and we had a big snow event, and they shut down the canyon, and as spring shows go, or late winter shows, it got canceled due to weather. So we found a makeup date, and we are coming in hot to the Caribou Room in Netherlands, yeah.
So how exactly did Chain Station come to be?
I guess the backstory, see where to start. It's been a lot of chapters. I think we're in year 13 of Chain Station now, as Chain Station, a band. A long, long time ago, once upon a time, in Estes Park, Colorado, at the YMCA of the Rockies, Alex Taylor, who's the guitar player for Chain Station, and I met at a campfire party on top of a mountain that you had to jeep up to. So we basically brought guitars and started jamming together, and that's where we met, and we've been friends ever since. It was an early iteration of the band, and it was just a bunch of good buddies, the first people I played music with in Colorado. And that band was called Glentucky Funkdown. There's a little canyon called Glenhaven, but it's pretty podunk. Lots of trans Camaros on blocks. It's a little backwoods. So we called it Glentucky, and the Funkdown was just, we were kind of funky and getting down. So that was our original band, Glentucky Funkdown. We did Dead covers, bluegrass, funky stuff, whatever. We played at the same place every time, the Rock Inn Mountain Tavern. And with a little bit of time going by and a personnel change, I jumped on upright bass from rhythm guitar, and there was some personnel changes there. And that's where Chain Station was born, at the Rock Inn Mountain Tavern in Estes Park, Colorado, back about 13 years ago.
I think that condenses it.
Yeah, so Jarrett Mason jumped on right at that point. Jarrett Mason's originally from Menominee, Michigan. He's a mandolin player. The solid trio has been me and Alex and Jarrett, and we have, unfortunately but fortunately, had the pleasure to play with three different banjo players. So that's the only real personnel that's really changed out of the band. We've had a fiddle every once in a while. There was a guy named Dan Andre who recorded with us and played with us for a while and toured. We've gone through a few banjo players, but the main core of the group, Jarrett, Alex, and John, have been around for the entire time. So, yeah. And we've had a few people popping out, but that's been the core of the group. That's kind of the backstory. Born in the mountain.
And what about you, John? Where did your musical journey begin?
Great question.
I come from a half-musical family. My mom, Judy Pickett, was actually in a five-piece a cappella jazz group in Dayton, Ohio. So when I was little, they'd practice at my house, and they were always singing harmonies, and I kind of thought it was old people music, so I ran to my room, and it turns out I was listening. And so that's kind of how I got harmonies in my heart and my soul and my brain. And they had a great record collection, my parents did, Pat and Judy, back in the day. So I was listening to everything from the Beatles to Michael Jackson, Chuck Mangione, jazz,
I mean, yeah,
Dave Brubeck to the Cars in Boston. So a lot of mattering of music that kind of influenced me there.
And then I,
about 10, 11 years old, started guitar lessons back in Ohio. And I did about three years of lessons, about 6 months of classical lessons. And then started playing guitar, a rock band in high school called Social Suicide. And we played
the Battle of the Bands in Cincinnati, Ohio, at Bogart's, 93.
Came in 28th out of 30 bands. So we were obviously on our way. But that was pretty much my journey. Been playing acoustic guitar, bass, drums, and guitar ever since. And playing in bands and all those roles.
And what styles of music most influenced you along the way?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I guess
kind of blues, rock and roll, Americana.
And then when Chain Station started, that kind of branched off into bluegrass, which I'd never grown up with. I'd heard it before, but I think probably Old and In the Way was probably my first foray into bluegrass back in high school, the album Old and In the Way. But yeah, it's just been a smattering of stuff. Blues, I play a lot of blues. Bluegrass, Americana, and rock kind of smashed into one big package there. So,
do you guys write your own original songs?
We have been writing since our first album came out in 2000.
I forget what year.
Truthfully, I'm going to have to look it up. Dance With Love is our first album. And I don't think there was a cover on that album. So we've, from the beginning, been writing our own music. Most of our albums are originals. I would say our shows would be about 80-20 or 85-15, 85% originals. We'll throw a couple covers in there sometimes just to get people singing along with something they know other than our song. So I would say we're predominantly an original music band, but we do love hitting some covers. One of my favorites, I grew up in the 80s, and I love the 80s hits, so Men at Work's Overkill. We took that and arranged it in our own style and recorded that on our Where I Want to Be album. And there's some live recordings of that, so the music video is on YouTube on our channel. So it was a fun one to do. So we take a cover and we break it down into its parts and kind of give it our flair and hopefully make the original writer of that song proud if they hear it. You know, that's kind of how I'd like to do it.
Is there a primary songwriter or are there primary songwriters present in the band?
I would say that, well, we've all written songs that we play, everybody in the band.
Jarrett has
written some of my favorite ones. Anna Lee is one that he wrote, great song. Some of the instrumentals he's taking credit for, like No Contest. Jarrett's a great songwriter. As far as the majority of them probably on the albums would be Alex Taylor and me. So Alex in the band is the guitar player and a songwriter, singer.
What do you think is your favorite part of the writing process or watching other people write?
My favorite part
is when a song hits you upside the head, like just out of nowhere.
It doesn't happen very often, but when it does,
it's almost like you're a vessel. I'm not trying to sound too magical and ethereal, like I'm some kind of magical entity, but the song Half Full came together in like an hour, and that doesn't happen very often. And it was a full, complete song. So that's one of my favorite things is when it just hit you out of nowhere. It's kind of a magical thing. My other favorite part about it is about songwriting or seeing it happen. If I bring a song to the band, it's usually about 90% done, right? It's a song. And then we sit down together. This is probably my favorite part. And break down the pieces. And someone says, hey, you know, why don't you put another verse in here? Or that sucks completely. That doesn't sound good. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. What would be good there? And he'll add something in. Jared might say good melody here, a lick here, or change the key. So at the end of that process, after the polishing and brushing and erasing, we've got the song that we will break down and we'll put together, record. So it's a bit of a process.
Sweet.
But the process itself is fun.
Have you played solo before?
That's a good question. Actually, I do and have been performing solo acoustic shows for a long, long time. And that's my other job. So Gain Station is the touring LLC. It's a band. It's an LLC. It's a product. It's a very fun job. And whenever I'm back in town up in Estes Park, I've got multiple weekly gigs where I play my songs and cover songs, try out new songs, and I do that a lot. So my stuff is at JonPickett.com. That's my website, my personal website. So yeah, I play a lot of solo shows. So, and the bands I've really been in, it just was a metal band in high school. And after that, nothing really until I moved to Colorado in 2002 when I met those guys. So, but I do jump in sometimes and play drums with a band. I play bass with a pickup group or something like that for live performances. So whatever's needed.
Does it feel different performing solo compared to performing with a group?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's just, I like them both. Sometimes if I've been playing bass for a while on tour with the band, you've been playing the same songs over and over again, you know? So not that it doesn't get old, but it's nice to come back and grab my guitar and
kind of just break loose a little bit
from the mold of playing upright bass. Because singing and playing bass is one thing. But when I'm playing solo acoustic guitar and singing, I get to control the tempo and I get to go wherever I want. And there's no one else to rely on or no one else relying on you. So I can change the song and be more spontaneous than when I'm playing with a group where they're relying on me to keep the rhythm on that bass.
Do you have a favorite part to performing live in general?
Yeah, I'm an entertainer at heart. I very much enjoy the interaction in a live setting.
The crowd,
they like in a big Chain Station show, the crowd
will amp them up,
our music, and their energy starts rising, which comes back to the band, which makes the music
do different things. So it's a circle, it's a conversation.
It's strange. It really is. It's a live, breathing thing where the crowd amps us up, we amp them up. It can really be a special, magical thing. So I just love that, the crowd music interaction.
Yeah, I just love
entertaining, and it makes me happy. It makes, hopefully, other people happy. So it's win-win.
And is there anything that you hope audience members will take away from your shows when they come and see you?
I mean, with Chain Station shows, it's evident from what we've gotten in reviews and just feedback from people. It's energy. It's fun. So a pretty positive vibe that we bring. Not every song is rainbows and lollipops, but it's a pretty positive vibe. So I think I want people to leave having had a really good time and
recognizing,
hopefully, the musical skills, being wowed by the songwriting and the musical skills, hopefully.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off and move on to the next guest?
For sure, yeah. We are embarking on a bit of a summer. Our summer calendar just came out, and the best way for people to find out is at Chain Station. musicmotivation.com. So that's our summer calendar. I'm looking forward to doing some traveling. We're going to be in Idaho, South Dakota. We'll be out in Michigan, Ohio, Illinois. So we're doing a whole tour at different dates around the country this year, but lots more Colorado shows. So I'm looking forward to playing with some of our hometown crew in Colorado this summer. Woodbelly is a band that we've been friends with since they started also as a band. We've played together, I can't remember, 6 years ago in Fort Collins, maybe seven, whenever they began. So we've been buddies with them. We're really looking forward to the Caribou Room show. This should be a really fun one.
Yeah, so we're getting it done.
Having a lot of fun ones.
Thank you so much to John for coming on board and joining us for the podcast to represent Chain Station. Let's move on to a member of Woodbelly, our second musical guest. Do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
I am Aaron McCoskey from the band Woodbelly. I play banjo and guitar and I sing.
And I hear that Woodbelly will be performing with Chain Station at the Caribou Room very soon.
That is correct. We're playing there on April 26th.
So Aaron, how did you personally get started with music in the first place?
That's a long story. When I was 6 years old, I asked my parents if they would buy me a piano, and they couldn't afford it, but my great-grandma bought me a piano, and I played that for about 6 or 7 years, and then put it down and started playing guitar when I was in college. That for a few years, and then I went to music school in Texas after that, and learned how to play banjo as well, started playing bluegrass guitar, and moved to Colorado after that, and to the Front Range, and just, yeah, started playing and meeting people and being in bands.
How many bands have you been in over the years?
Oh, I have no idea. A lot. Some of them, like someone has an idea for a band and you practice twice and you never hear from them again. So I don't know if that counts. Other ones, you play for a year or two or five and they fizzle out. So who knows, man, a lot of them. Serious bands, I'd say like 3 or 4.
And how did Woodbelly come to be?
A few of the guys had already started playing together and rehearsing and did a show or two and then asked me if I wanted to come join on banjo.
What musical inspirations have you carried with you along the way?
I mean, too many to count. The first band, the music I was listening to that made me want to play guitar was Phish. I really loved Phish when I was in college, and that made me want to play guitar. And from there, I got really into bluegrass stuff, so I got to Tony Rice and Bill Monroe and the traditional bluegrass stuff. And most of my inspiration these days comes from just friends of mine in the area who are or become amazing players and singers, and it's just really cool to see people I'm connected to doing such cool things.
How long have you been playing the banjo, just out of curiosity?
I've been playing the banjo for probably like 18 or 19 years, but 8 of them seriously.
Gotcha.
I just dabbled for a while before that.
And what does Woodbelly primarily perform?
Primarily original music with a few covers sprinkled in.
Do you have any primary songwriters for the band?
We have two. Chris Wiest, our acoustic guitar player, writes a lot of songs. And Brendan Mackey, our bass player, also writes a good bit.
Have you done any songwriting of your own?
We play some of my original instrumental compositions, so I've done a little bit of writing. I just don't really write lyrics.
Is there anything you love about the writing process or watching others write?
Not in particular. I'm always impressed when people have lots of things to say and write lots of lyrics. And they have, those guys both always have a new song or two. So it's just impressive that they have so much to say. And I've written instrumental things, but lyrics just never really come to me the same way.
What do you especially love about performing live?
My favorite thing about playing live is just the energy that you get from the audience while you're doing it and how cool that feels. And people out there rocking out and singing to your music is a special thing.
Have you played any solo shows in the past?
I have, but a handful a year, not really very many.
What do you think is different about performing solo versus performing in a band?
Oh, I just think the music is more interesting when I play with other people. Just what I like doing. Yeah, I don't have like a specific reason why. It's just what I'm gravitated towards, I suppose. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you hope that audience members will be able to take away from your show when they come and see you?
Let me think about that. Not necessarily. I mean, give me a second. Just that they've had a great night listening to music, dancing. We're a pretty high energy band, and yeah, we work really hard on the performance aspect of it, so hopefully they've been super entertained and seen and enjoyed a good professional tight show that sounds, yeah, where they can hear lots of good, we practice our harmony singing a lot so they can hear really well executed vocal harmonies and instrumental solos and all of it, just a well-rounded put together band.
How long has Woodbelly been a band again?
Since 2015.
And you're primarily Colorado based, right?
Colorado based, but we tour all over the country.
What's been fun for you about touring the country with this band over the years?
Just reaching new people and going to places you've never been before and seeing people singing along to the songs in the audience. Very cool.
Is there anything else in particular that you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, we've gone through some changes not super recently, but we were a string band, a bluegrass band for a long time, and about a year and a half ago, we started playing with a drummer and we had some electric electric guitar on some things now. So it's been fun to make a new era of Woodbelly, and we have a new album out called Cicada that has new sounds and new songs on it. Yeah.
Thank you so much to Aaron for coming on board and joining us for the podcast. Our final musical guest. Do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
I'm Brennan Mackey. I play bass and sing in the band Woodbelly.
And you will be performing with Woodbelly and Chain Station at the upcoming Caribou Room show.
Yep, coming up. The reschedule from a big snowstorm back in like February.
So how did you get started in Woodbelly in the first place? And how has Woodbelly evolved as a band from your perspective?
Well, so I am fairly new in the band. I joined about a year and a half ago, about 2 Januaries ago. The band has traditionally been a string band, bluegrass band, and I believe the band started in 2016 when Chris Wiest met Craig. There's always two singers, the previous other singer at one of the bluegrass houses, I can't remember, I think it was Rocky Grass. And then they got together and started playing, and I'm not entirely sure the exact history of everybody coming in. They put out a few records, won the Telluride competition, and then Craig wanted to start a family, so he bowed out, and then there was another singer that came in, Tom. He played for a record, and then he bowed out after that, and now the band has been kind of making a big change and introducing more rock elements and a drummer and an electric bass. So I'm kind of part of phase 3 Woodbelly rock band era.
And how did you get your start in music?
Yeah, so I've played guitar since I was 13, the classic age that every teenager starts playing Green Day songs and whatnot. I played guitar for years, and then in my early 20s, when I was living in Chicago, I started writing songs with this Americana indie band. I was doing finance for PepsiCo, and then quit that and haphazardly moved out to Denver. Started a band called King Cardinal, which is one of my other things that I'm doing. And I met Aaron McCloskey. He was my guitar teacher for a couple months, and he reached out to me seeing if I was interested in... Actually, no, that's not how it worked. I played with them a little bit, and then Chris called me and wanted to do some co-writing. So we got together and wrote a few songs, and then they asked me to join as a bassist. But yeah, I've been in Denver for a while playing with King Cardinal and some other various bands around town, doing more straight Americana stuff, kind of like indie rock. So yeah, it's been cool spreading my wings, doing something a little different and playing with these guys and meeting a whole new community of people. It's been good.
Are there any artists that have inspired you along the way?
Oh yeah. I feel like the big three for me was Weezer in high school. I was obsessed with Weezer. And then the band was huge right after college. I got deep into the band. There was a minute there for like a year where I just only listened to the band or band side projects, just Levon Helm stuff. And that was kind of when I started writing songs. So that probably had the biggest influence and push in the direction of how I was writing at the time and kind of my foundation. And then Bon Iver is another idol of mine. Everything that guy puts out is different and creative. Songwriting is amazing. His voice is amazing. So those are kind of big three. Weezer's a funny one when I tell people that.
And from where Woodbelly started, where do you think they've gone?
It's an interesting question. I think from the first three records, you can really just see the growth of the band within the bluegrass and string band format, especially Chris's songwriting and the instrumentation. I probably can't really speak too much to their growth at that time, but the records are killer. And then when I joined, we had the drummer joined. He was a little more jam band guy. I was a little more indie rockish. So we were bringing in ideas that I think were a little bit different than what they were doing, and the way that they work was a little different than what I'm used to working. So it was kind of a nice amalgamation and hodgepodge of all our influences and ideas and processes. Yeah, and I think we created something pretty unique on this last record. There's a lot of different sounds. There's a more like second line New Orleans tune. There's some straight ahead train beady bluegrass ass type songs. I hesitate to say bluegrass because you don't want to say that when there's drums on it. There's some straight rock songs. So yeah, it's been cool seeing everybody spread their wings and try different sounds.
Have you guys focused on originals, covers, or a mix of both?
Yeah, I think that's always the way that Wiest and Aaron always talk about it, is the band is primarily song based. So although Chris Zink and Aaron are fantastic banjo players and dobro player, and Wiest is a great guitar and mandolin player, if the foundation of the song isn't there, I don't think anybody's really going to be interested in it. So yeah, the song is primarily the focus in this band. So you can go see some bands that they just crush it live, and then you put a record and you're like, man, these songs aren't there, even though they're all just killer musicians. And I think that's something that this band has, is good solid foundation of songs.
Is there there a primary songwriter, or are there primary songwriters present in Woodbelly?
Yeah, there's usually two primary songwriters in terms of vocal songs. And then Aaron also writes some great instrumental songs, too. So there's kind of the instrumental aspects of the band, too. So every record, there's two or three killers showcasing everybody's skills, but also he writes great melodies, too. So, yeah, I think it's generally two. That's kind of been the format of the band, is two singers, two songwriters. Me and Weiss have been writing a little together, so, yeah, it's an eclectic group.
Do you play solo? Do you write solo?
I do play solo a little bit. I mainly write by myself in my room. Just a guy and a guitar. Been expanding out to working on more production stuff. But yeah, it's generally one-on-one. We're trying to do more co-writes. But yeah, one of the songs, Alamo Serene, on the new record is a co-write between me and Chris. And I think to me, that's the best song on the record. That's the one that I think people feels like people really connect with. And that's a solid effort from both of us.
What do you think is your favorite part of the writing process, either alone with a group or watching other people write?
Probably my favorite part is the finishing. And not stressing anymore. But no, yeah, my favorite part is probably when you bring a new piece to a group. And I tend to have the philosophy of letting the other people in the group put their own voices on it and take it in a direction. I try not to, before I bring it in, have a mental idea of where I want the end goal to be, like where the end of the road is going to be. So when you bring it in, someone's like, well, maybe we play it faster, slower. Once the drums put on their, whatever the drummer is playing, it can really transform it into something new. And so that's usually my favorite part. I can really bang my head on the wall trying to write lyrics and stuff. There's the initial spark of a song, which is really fun to get, getting the melody and the chords. And then there's the actual, what is it, like 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration, or whatever. Getting everything finalized is always, you got to work for it. So you get the beginning inspiration, funness, and then the work in the middle, and then kind of the end part where you're finally bringing it to a group of people and watching it find its own place or its final form.
Do you prefer playing by yourself or playing with a group?
I definitely would prefer playing with a group. Playing solo can be fun in an intimate setting with people who are paying attention, but especially you can fall into a trap of playing to just the wall. But there's so much more interaction playing with other people. There's so much more energy, and there's so much more just spontaneity. Whereas playing by yourself, unless you're really connecting with the audience and getting energy from them, it can be a little more difficult. So yeah, I'd much prefer playing with a group.
Well, what do you think are some of your favorite parts about being able to perform live in general?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I think a lot of it is just the energy that you can get. You prepared something, especially once you get comfortable after you've played with a bunch of people for a while and you guys are comfortable with the songs, and when's that next break coming? Once you're all locked in, yeah, it feels like everybody's kind of working as one piece. And then you get people excited in the crowd dancing, that negative you energy start moving. Yeah, I think that's the energy is probably the main thing.
Is there anything that you hope audience members will be able to take away from the show when they come and see you?
That's also a good question. Yeah, I think we just want to show people a good time. There's kind of two aspects of the band, the live thing and the recorded thing. So if you can get the song, great. If you're just there and you get the energy, that's awesome too. I think if you come to a Woodbelly show, you're probably going to see eclectic styles of music and get a little bit of everything. So there's a lot of opportunities for, a lot of entryways for people in music, I think.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up for the week?
I think mainly our new record. And then we also put out a song with this podcast down in Austin that they set up booths in different areas of different venues. And I think most of it's down in Austin, but they have one up in Mishawaka, and they have people come in and tell a story. It's called Song Confessional. So people come in and tell an interesting story from their life. And then they give it to songwriters. They have them write a song and then record it. And then they do an interview with the artist. They play the story and then play the song. This is great. We put out a song, Late Bloomer, with them, which I think turned out really great. Feels like a nice growth. The first record we had got together, wrote, played a little bit. Then we had like a year and a half together and then recorded this song. So it felt like we were really working as a team and everybody was on their game for that. There's that song you can check out. Oh, the drummer from the band Spoon mixed it, which is super cool. We get to work with him.
So are those the major things?
Yeah, I think that's it. And then we got the show coming up, and then we'll be hitting the road playing Delfest. We'll be playing a lot, and we got, me and Chris have a ton of songs and ready to put out in the world, so I think we'll probably be putting some more stuff out here coming up this summer. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff coming up.
And thank you so much to Brennan for wrapping up this week on the Mountaineer Music of the Mountains podcast. You can see Chain Station and Woodbelly performing together at the Caribou Room, 55 Indian Peaks Drive in Nederland, on Friday, April 26, 2024. Doors open and dinner starts at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8 p.m. Skies.
Been a long September and a cold has arrived.
And now, for this week's Music Mentions. In preparation for the third annual Nederland Jazz and Wine Festival being held on August 24th, be sure to head to Busey Brews, located at 70 East 1st Street in Nederland, on Saturday, April 20th at 6:30 p.m. for the Ned Jazz Wine Pop-Up. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., head to the Diner Bar Ned, located at 121 North Jefferson Street in Nederland, for a karaoke night. Eldora Mountain Resort season has been extended another week. Head to 2861 Eldora Ski Road in Nederland on Saturday, April 20th at 9 a.m. to see DJ Mystical in the Boombox. On Saturday, April 20th at 1 p.m. to see the Charlie Berry Project on Timber's Deck. On Sunday, April 21st at 9 a.m. to see God Laser in the Boombox. And on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. to see the Piney Tops on Timber's Deck. Head to the Gold Hill General Store, located at 531 Main Street in Gold Hill, on Friday, April 19th at 7:30 p.m. to see Sun Jr. performing live, and on Saturday, April 20th at 7 p.m. to see 100 Pound House Cat performing live. Head to Howlin' Wind Brewing, located 51A Main Street in Rollinsville, on Saturday, April 20th at 5 p.m. to see the Dakota Gray Band performing live. Head to the Jamestown Mercantile, located at 108 Main Street in Jamestown, on Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. to see Clay Rose and Friends performing live, on Sunday, April 21st at noon to see Palomara performing live, and on Thursday, April 25th at 7 p.m. to see Jeff Lambert and JC McKim performing live. Head to JKQ Barbecue, located at 200 Gregory Street in Blackhawk, on Friday, April 19th at 6 p.m. to see John Ridnell duo with Brittany Wagner. Also be sure to head there on Saturday, April 20th at 5 p.m. to see a solo performance by John Ridnell. Head to Knotted Root Brewing, located at 250 North Caribou Street in Nederland, on Sundays at 5 p.m. for Jazz Sundays. And finally, head to the Very Nice Brewing Company, located at 20 East Lakeview Drive, number 112 in Nederland, on Friday, April 19th at 6 p.m. to see Raven Wolf performing live, and on Saturday, April 20th at 5 p.m. to see Windy Pines performing live. Did we miss you or your performance? Want to submit your music listing in the Peak to Peak area? Do you have updates to your business or to your performances? Please call 303-810-5409 or email info@themountaineer.com to be included in the next print edition or the next podcast of The Mountain Ear.
And that's it for our show. Subscribe online to get access to more news, weekly updates to our community calendar, and a link to our YouTube channel by visiting themountaineer.com. Be sure to use the coupon code PODCAST when subscribing for a 10% discount, only available to our listeners. I'm Dango Rose. Thank you for listening.